All right. Well, here he is joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, a man that thinks. He's a thinking golfer, James Duffy.
Yes.
Is that an accurate description, JD?
Who's gotten disparaged more over the last me or Michael Block?
I'm like
Michael Block in a lot of ways. If I can hit it like Rory, you know, putt like, I was going to say Spieth, but he can't putt anymore. Hit my irons like Scheffler. And putt like O-Dog, I'd be an elite player, one of the best in the world.
Jimmy, yes, do you think the Rory comment really kind of set himself up for a disaster?
I really can't figure that one out. Have you guys talked about this so your listeners will know what we're talking about?
A little bit, yeah. Michael Block went on a podcast and said if he had Rory's length, he'd be one of the best players in the world.
In the world.
Length off the tee.
I can't. First of all, a little sympathy for the guy, just in the sense that, you know, he's gone from nowhere, you know, a good club pro, played some tournaments, to being on every podcast and every radio show or whatever and over the last few days. So it has been a whirlwind, and the guy's probably mentally exhausted because he broke down in his news conference today, I think, after the round or yesterday, which was also kind of a little bit weird. Because I don't think he shot 81, I think, which is what a lot of people expected him to shoot, and then he's crying in his post-game news conference, his post-round news conference. But so I give him a little bit of sympathy because, you know, maybe he's just tired. But I think it undid a lot of the great stuff. Not completely. Who cares? Because I think last week was fantastic, and I thought he handled himself so perfectly last week. Everything was so humble. You know, he seemed to be completely agreeing that this was ludicrous what was happening. And so that comment was kind of, it kind of set him back a little bit. But I think that won't be remembered, right, when they do some crappy movie in a couple of years. I don't think that part will be remembered. I think that it was still a pretty cool what happened at the PGA because, I mean, that course is ludicrous. So for him to do what he did there, I was listening to another podcast today with Joel Damon, and I don't know if you watch the Full Swing thing on Netflix, but Joel Damon has a caddy named Gino. They're best buddies forever, and Gino is a complete scratch, a 0.0. And you know, we've all wondered in what guys would shoot on that course or that type of difficult major championship setup. You know, what would a 10 handicap shoot? Well, Gino's a scratch, and he played it on the Monday with the Sunday pins from the same tees and everything and shot 86 and said he hit it great. And he's a 0.0. So I don't think you can overstate how hard that setup was. And for a pro who doesn't play major championship golf very often to do what he did, I think that's still pretty remarkable.
Yeah, it's incredible. The movie will end on his up and down on 18. That's it. It'll end right there, possibly with him getting calls from people saying, you're doing this, you're doing that. And then there'll be a little script at the end. He pukes.
But how does this end? How does this end? Does he pull the plug himself, guys, and say, okay, this clearly is not meant for me, or is that the Canadian Open
up.
Sponsors exemption? But then is that where it ends?
He's coming up.
Oh, I know, but then after that, does everyone else say not happening?
I think he's back in the PGA Championship next year, so who knows. But I think it's a 15 minutes of fame that probably ends around the Canadian Open. Maybe somewhere along the way he gets one more exemption later in the year, but I think it's your true American dream story of 15 minutes of fame and come... You know, 2 months from now, there's nobody talking about Michael Block.
I want to will him into qualifying at the RBC. I want this guy on our show. I don't want it to end for him. I know, Hayes, you're like and down. And there's I can see it where, you know, it goes dark on the screen in the movie and it goes, Michael Block missed the cut here, Michael Block. And now resides in wherever, you know, has gone back to being Tin Cup, basically.
But don't you think that if he, you know, whatever he shot this week, 15 over, and if he comes to the Canadian Open and he shoots 15 over, and, you know, his last place or second last or whatever it may be, I kind of almost think it makes the PGA story even better. Because because he just for 1 week, you know, he was, it just everything went his way. And I think that's, that almost makes the story even better, because that's what we all, God knows that's what I just hope for every time I play in a tournament.
Well, listen, I'm playing in the Pro-Am. He may be my pro. There's a and if
that'd
if
be
so,
awesome.
Well, we'll see what comes of it. Maybe
you might beat him.
Hey,
listen, if I go
him.
One under again, I probably will. Let me say it right now. There's a chance. If I shoot one under, there's a chance. I don't want to get crazy. I don't want to get
Block,
ahead of myself.
Like, that would be the sequel to the story. Is,
yeah.
You know, Michael Block is the Cinderella, and then he becomes the hero, and then you, you know.
Yeah. Oh, it's all there. It's all there in front of us. But hopefully.
Michael Block is Rocky, and you're Apollo Creed. You come knock him out.
When it comes to the Pro-Am, yeah, more or less. Drago, you can call me whatever you want. But generally, I bring my A stuff to the Pro-Am. So we'll see in a couple of weeks. But, anyway, JD, we've got something cooking in the NHL, don't we? I mean, this was being on the verge of being the most probably forgettable conference final in Stanley Cup history if Vegas wins last night. Like, two sweeps on both sides. Still feels like Vegas is going to roll here. What do you make of it, Dallas, you know, keeping things alive? And Joe Pavelski, which is a great story, being the one that scores a goal last night.
Yeah, you know, frankly, selfishly, I'm at the point where I just wanted it over so the Stanley Cup final would start as quickly as possible and end as quickly as possible.
Right.
And that's a horrible thing to say about the way I feel about the remaining teams, because they're all great stories. And, you know, there's going to be a great story that wins the Stanley Cup, but that's just the reality, I think, of Canadian hockey fans in this market, whatever, is it's just, you know, I'll be frank. I didn't watch the OT last night. I had to get up early. And so I was hoping for a goal in the last minute. I'm like, okay, I'm done. I'll watch in the morning and check out what happened, which I'm not proud of that, but it just, I can't get into it. I hope when it gets to the final, I hope we get a six or even despite what I said about wanting it over, I hope we get a 6 or 7 game final, because, you know, that would be intriguing. If it's some 4 or 5 game final, no matter who wins, I think this will be one of the more forgettable playoffs, you know, after the opening round or two in recent memory. But you're right, Pavelski is just a fantastic story, and I have to give some credit to Dallas, because when your captain does something as stupid as what he did in game 3, and you go down like that, and then your captain suspended and you're at down 3-0, be pretty easy to show up last night, lose 5-2, and see you later for the summer. So that was a pretty game effort. And Robertson in particular, when you see something like that, you know, we always talk about, I think we've talked endlessly about the Leafs figuring out the playoffs or not, you know, certain guys after a few years finally figuring it out or whatever. That guy had, you know, was not having a great playoffs, was better this round, but last night was like 10 shots and 16 shot attempts through 2 periods. If he suddenly figured it out and can start to be a factor, maybe they'll get back in it. But I'm with you, Hayes. I think Vegas probably ends this back at home, and then we have a final that is 2 pretty good places for the people that are traveling to cover it. But besides that, I'm not sure what to expect from it.
Yeah, isn't that what we've all been? And again, admittedly, you know, I'm watching the games and I'm enjoying them, but we're dying for storylines. And obviously, not just Canadian content, it's what is the storylines. I think, you know, the easy ones are Bobrovsky, because he was wearing a ball cap to start the playoffs. Matthew Tkachuk has had a dream season on a new team. But outside of that, yeah, Pavelski's a good story. Like, usually, it seems like there's so many storylines, and I think maybe we got spoiled in that first round or maybe the first 2 rounds where it was like, hey, Boston's out and Colorado's out, Seattle. Like, there was just so many storylines, and now they're kind of dwindling and you're kind of reaching for stuff, and especially if it's not local content.
The other one I would add would be Eichel, just in the sense of a guy playing, you know, so long and not getting probably the best player to not get a sniff of the playoffs in the NHL. I can't even think of another guy who's, you know, been around that long who had never got a sniff of it. And to come in and, you know, sort of take advantage of your first run this way, like if he's hoisting the Stanley Cup, that would be something, I think. And he's almost a guy that, I don't want to say you forgot, because that's stupid. I mean, he had a good year, and he's a big name. But, I mean, how many times did you talk about Jack Eichel this year on your radio program and you're on 15 hours a week? Probably not a ton, right?
No.
Because he goes to that market, and, you know, he had the injuries, and you kind of sort of forgot about him. I don't remember saying his name barely on our shows all season long, and then here he is, and you remember that he made a move last night he didn't score on that was just ridiculous at full speed.
Yeah.
On a one-on-one sort of situation. And so I think that's another one that'd be interesting, Noodles. But you're right, it's just we're kind of pulling teeth in a situation like that. I will say this. I used to, you know, selfishly, the panel would always, when people ask for who we cheered for, we cheered for the teams that would make the most fun Stanley Cup final for us. Just the most selfish thing you could possibly do. And
true.
So Vegas, when they came into the league, was always near the top of the list. Nashville was always up there. We had that one LA-New York final, which was pretty spectacular. And Vegas, Florida, you know, that's, if you're doing all the combinations in the league, that's not bad. I mean, Sunrise isn't the best, but Noodles, you know, you live there, like it's pretty good, the beachy area there, right?
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Vegas, Florida final, like I said, I think the panel's going to hang out in Toronto and do it from studio because we're professionals. We don't want to take part in any shenanigans, but that's a pretty darn good location final.
James, I don't think we've talked to you since all the goings on. You mentioned Toronto. What do you make of everything that's gone on here with Dubas leaving and everything else? Excuse me.
I don't know that I have a fresh take that you haven't heard several dozen times, guys. I would just say I'm still quite astounded that of the way it went down, considering there's two guys that I respect a lot in Shanahan and Dubas, and I think are two really, really smart guys. And I cannot figure out that in those 2-3 days that one guy decided to email the guy that he'd worked side by side with for 9 years to say, instead of picking up the phone to say, I want to be back and let's work it out. And then the other guy just decided to fire the guy instead of maybe calling him after he got that thing from the agent and saying, hey, you know, I got this thing from your agent. This isn't going to work, but let's try to make it work. I can't understand how there weren't more conversations in that little 24-hour period. If Kyle truly wanted to be back and Shanahan, you know, up until those 24 hours or 48 hours or whatever, wanted them back, I can't figure out how that didn't happen. And that's the part that will confuse me. You know, we still have only heard half the story, but that's the part will confuse me for a long time is how it, that I'm endlessly confused by how it went down that way.
Yeah, no, that's valid. And, you know, there's so many different theories as to why it happened. And, you know, it could be that Dubas didn't really want to be here and maybe thought there's another job out there that he'd rather have, so why not send in a bully offer, maybe? And there's a chance the owners said, you know what, we're going to move on, but Shanahan, you got to go out and fall on the sword. And it's got to be you got
to
publicly say
no,
it's
like
your call.
There
all that kind
of
stuff
more
could
of
be
an
there.
Explanation because the other thing doesn't make sense.
Right. Exactly.
The other thing is a breakup with your girlfriend in grade 8 when neither one of you knows how to communicate.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly kind of the way it played out. Emails.
Did anyone ever dump you in grade 8, Jimmy?
Yeah, Allison White broke up with me. It was
traumatic.
It was hard, and I don't really want to talk about it on the thing.
Uh-oh.
What did she say to you? Did she write you a note?
I'm going to tell you a story that I told on my podcast that will humiliate me, but this is what I do on the radio program. I went to a part, like, I started dating Allison White, but I think I was in grade 7, and I was afraid to kiss her. I think I kissed her, you know, a few times. Grade 7, okay? This is like 1970s. Yeah. Zero experience with anything. So we went to, like a spin-the-bottle party. I wore my white turtleneck and white jeans, because that was my look back then.
Fire.
And,
fire.
We
Buddy,
did
that's
thing.
Repellent
like,
for
there,
Allison.
There was like a version of Spin the Bottle that was like called like 3 minutes in heaven or something when you went into the closet with the girl or the furnace room or the basement of the house.
Right.
You know, to do a little makeout session. And I was so dumb and so naive that I thought necking, my determination of what necking was that you kiss the girl's neck. So I just start. We went in the back room and she's already, and I just started attacking her neck with my lips. And the next day it was over.
Wow, so that's not good, man.
That is some amateurly garbage right there.
Yeah, that's. I mean, the gear alone
that
set
me
off.
Back. That set me back several years. I didn't date again until my early 20s.
I guarantee you, though, when you got the key to Ottawa, you tagged her on Facebook.
Actually, in recollection, it might have been Cheryl Hamill. I can't remember which.
You might want to get the handle right, Trevor, if you're going to tag someone on Facebook. Exactly.
Either way, I was an embarrassment. And I had big ears back then. Like, my ears were like grew faster than the rest of my head, and they really felt like they stuck out on my little grade 7 head. So I just grew my hair really long, like, you know, late 70s hair, and then I pushed it forward so in front of my... So I kind of had a Princess Leia type look. It was really weird.
Yeah, that's not a look.
Not that I am as a man now, but
save
grade
some
seven,
chicks
not
for the rest of us.
Yeah.
Holy crap!
White on white turtleneck with a Princess Leia vibe.
If I gotta send you my yearbook photo to show you what I did with my hair, and it's the greatest thing ever.
What movie is it? Is it Something About Mary? Where he's like,
yes.
That's what I'm envisioning.
Yes.
It's a Something About Mary kind of scene.
Really, it's really bad.
Well, I'm glad you grew out of that stage, JD. And now look at you. You're the king of the county.
I figure you guys humiliate me when I'm not on the program all the time, so I might as well just humiliate myself while
That's
I'm
why
on.
You're a legend. That's why we love having you
job.
On, buddy.
You did a good job.
Have a great weekend. We'll do it again soon. Thank you.
Okay, boys. Take care.
James Duthie joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota and check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's time to Toyota. Visit MapleToyota.com.
What a loser move in the furnace room. Like, does he not have any game at all?
I know. Dracula just attacking the neck.
This poor girl.
Like, just
with
can't
his
go there.
White turtleneck and white jeans.
Ooh. Yeah.
And probably a tight tuck with a white belt.
In a Princess Leia vibe. That's not good.
His hair over top of his ears. I know
That's not masculine.
I know how tough it can be to try and put hair over your ears, especially the size of mine. It's not a good thing.
It's not easy. No. It's not. No. Overdrive brought to you by FanDuel, bringing you everything from the opening line to the final score. Also not a good thing right now is what's up with Toronto FC. It sounds as if, and it's being reported as if, we're talking about an absolute disaster, an unmitigated disaster, and possibly a mutiny. And I don't know if Bob Bradley can survive. We'll see. But the team is lost in the East. They haven't been in the playoffs in a couple of years. It's not a good scene. Josh Cloak from The Athletic has been all over this reporting. What is going on with TFC and how ugly could it continue to get? Is this rock bottom? We'll find out. We'll catch up with Josh, and we'll do that next.